Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation comes from the Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter, which you just heard read. Please be seated. Martin Luther wasn't attempting to begin a new denomination. He just merely wanted to start a conversation. In the centuries before Luther's time, the Church of Rome dominated the Western world. And it held sole control over all aspects of life, over education, over politics, philosophy, and religion. And with power comes corruption, and the Church had become very, very corrupt. It was truly the Dark Ages for the Christian Church, as key biblical doctrines had either become obscured or completely forgotten. Most importantly, the truth of the gospel, salvation by faith in Jesus alone, had been lost. As Luther went to the university to study theology, the church taught him that a person had to earn God's favor, had to earn their own salvation by performing good works. Luther was taught, and he believed, that salvation depended on his own works. What he did and what he did not do, he had to win salvation for himself, and that everything depended on himself. But this isn't what Scripture teaches. Luther was operating under a false concept of God and salvation because he lacked the truth of the gospel. Still, Luther did everything that the church required of the man. He went above and beyond what he thought would be needed to make himself worthy and acceptable before a holy God. But in all that he did, at the end of the day, God's law told him he was nothing but a poor, miserable sinner. He was accused and he was crushed by the Ten Commandments, and he feared God's wrath for his sin. And then one day, as he was studying the book of Romans, like he did very many times, he made a discovery. This time, the Holy Spirit opened his eyes to Holy Scripture as he read these words: "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." The Holy Spirit had revealed the truth of the gospel, revealed it to Luther, and the truth set Luther free. The only way to be declared righteous before the holy God is through faith in Jesus apart from the law. Nothing else matters. No indulgences required, no works required, no pilgrimages or prayers to Mary, no prayers to the saints. He was free to simply rest on God's grace, God's favor, and God's love for him that was freely given because what Jesus accomplished on his behalf on Calvary's cross. The truth of the gospel, it is the good news of Jesus Christ. It had been rediscovered. And to be sure, it has always been right there in Holy Scripture, but it had been hidden, it had been twisted, it had been obscured by centuries of abuse and misuse and traditions of men. And this is why we celebrate the Reformation. The Reformation is not about Luther. It's not about the reformers. No, the Reformation has always been about the gospel of Jesus. By the grace of God, heresies and false doctrines were brought to light in Christianity. Christianity was pointed back to the truth of God's word. And the Reformation is about remembering that the gospel had previously been lost, but now it is found. It is God's precious truth given for your salvation and mine. In Holy Scripture, you have everything you need. Moses, the law, the Psalms, the prophets, everything, and the Gospels in the New Testament. Everything you have in one holy truth, in one book, God's plan of salvation for all mankind. You have the truth that you are justified by grace alone through faith. The words justify and justification sometimes confuse people. They get a little confusing. So when we look at this legal term, justify, it is a legal term that means to render a favorable verdict, to vindicate, to be found in the right, to be free of charges. So as I always tell my catechism children, think of justification this way. You're saved by grace alone, through faith in Jesus Christ, and he's the one, actually God, declares you not guilty of your sin because of Jesus' work. Or in other words, it's just as if you never sinned. Bryce is nodding. Does your pastor teach you that? Yeah, it's common. Yeah. Just as if you never sinned. In the old days, when the guy at the hardware would stamp my bill, paid. That's what God does. Paid in full for the sake of Jesus. God's precious truth for your salvation. The rediscovery of the gospel returned the gospel to the common people. And the gospel is how Christ speaks to his people, speaks his word of salvation to you. In our gospel text tonight, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus makes this conditional statement. If you do this, then this over here is true. If you abide in Jesus' word, then it is true. You are a disciple of Jesus. In the original language, this word abide means to remain in, to dwell, or to lodge with. If you remain and dwell in Jesus' word, then the Holy Spirit can work through God's word to create and sustain faith within you. The gospel truth and love of Jesus sets you free, free from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Now, the whole thing sounds way too crazy. It's too easy. But we have Jesus' promise in his word. He has given us a prescription. Now, when the doctor gives you a prescription, if you don't go get it filled, whose fault is it? Is it the doctor's or is it yours? Well, if you do not abide in Jesus' word, well, then the Holy Spirit can't work. If you don't dwell and meditate on the word, Jesus says you cannot be his disciple, and you will die an eternal death because you have starved yourself, deprived yourself of the living word that breathes life of salvation into you. You've deprived yourself of God's eternal medication from his life-saving word. Scripture teaches us that there is power in God's word. Now, it is true. Yeah, you can read the Bible like a magazine or a newspaper and just read through it, and it's not going to save you. However, when you abide in Jesus' word, when you read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest, and take that word to heart, that's where the Holy Spirit goes to work, doing what the Holy Spirit does, creating faith, calling you to faith, sanctifying you and keeping you in the true faith, and then you are truly Jesus' disciple. Now, we all probably know someone who was brought up in the church, hearing the scriptures. They were baptized, they were catechized and confirmed, promising never to forsake God and his word, but they're no longer here. They're not only no longer here at St. Timothy, they're no longer in any Christian church. They have removed themselves from hearing the proclaimed word, removed themselves from the sacraments. They have forsaken God's word and fallen away from the truth. And that's Satan's goal, to draw people away from the truth of the gospel. There's an old German proverb that says, the truth may be suppressed, but not strangled. Christ Jesus is the truth, and Satan has already lost the war, but his only tool in his toolbox is to suppress the truth and create doubt. He cannot strangle it. All he can do is suppress it. And the Church of Rome had also obscured and suppressed the truth. The Pharisees and the chief priests, even one of Jesus' own disciples, was corrupt, suppressing the truth, refusing to believe. But regardless of how hard Satan battles, attempting to deceive human minds with lies, with watered-down gospel, Jesus' truth cannot be strangled. The word of the Lord endures forever. Moses and the prophets, the entire New Testament, bear witness that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Not works and deeds and hoops to jump through, no checklists involved. It all comes as a free gift from the grace of Jesus. He's already done all the work. He has the final word. In English, it's two words. It is finished. In Greek, it's one. Tetelestai. It is finished. All the work. He's provided you with everything you need to be worthy and acceptable before God. Apart from Jesus, you are a slave to sin. And a slave can never be sure of his future. One day, he belongs to somebody. The next day, he may be sold at a moment's notice. But Jesus went to the cross and shed his precious blood on your behalf to purchase you out of slavery. And through his work of salvation, he provides freedom from sin, death, and the power of the devil for all who believe and are baptized into his name. You are a child of faith. And ever since Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he has been a target by powerful and corrupt men. And as a child of faith, as a Christian, you too are a target. The devil sends his workers out after you to suppress and to strangle and to twist, snuff out the truth of Jesus in your life. But on this Reformation Day, every year, we remember the truth of the gospel. What it was before, it was when it was suppressed, but what it is now that it has been rediscovered. We can look through history and see that things are no different today than they were in the first century or the 16th century. Because since before the foundation of the world, salvation comes from grace alone, by faith alone, for the sake of Christ alone. He has freed you from your slavery to sin. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.